We're the Night Shift Bandits. Join us and our sister podcast, Perspective Discussions, where they talk about love, life, and relationships on any platform that you can find podcasts. Also, like, comment, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have a Twitch channel, and you can donate to us on our GoFundMe and Patreon, where you can help us bring you better content. Our link tree is down in the description. Thanks for joining us.
Wise man once said, if you show up to work, you have a career. So whether you're a YouTuber, Fortune 500 CEO, a drug dealer, a janitor, or a ruthless gun-toting, two-fisted, rum-soaked freelance pirate, give yourself a pat on the back for showing up and holding down a job. Because you, yes you, are awesome. This is the Night Shift Bandits punching in to tell you about Black Lagoon. Starting us off...
Master Honor Thomas here. Yes, I took it from Zach.
Ha! See, the funny part is that he can never take it from me, because even though I'm late, I am still the king. For it is me, Professor Zach.
And I am Bri the cool guy. Hello, everybody. Yes. How you doing?
Yes.
Speaking of which, how are you guys doing? I haven't... It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It has been. I'm good. I've been doing a lot of self-work, so...
Me too.
It's been turning out good.
Been in the process of moving myself, so that's been going on for a while, plus just general procrastination.
Yeah, that's something that you gotta get over.
All of us.
Yeah. It's been just prom and trunk parties and just all that for me.
You went to
that
a time prom?
No, I didn't go to prom. I went to a prom send-off.
I don't think that would be too bad if it was like he was somebody's date for prom. If it was like cousin or something like that.
This 30-something year old man.
And
this
okay, with him full of teens. Wait. When you think about it, there would be also some dude who's bringing their older cousin, and thinking about it rationally, could be the same situation.
In their early 20s. So it's not as
crazy. I cannot bet here.
Okay, I've definitely had some people at my prom bring somebody who was 30, so
Question it?
People do it. But
no, like, I would have questioned that.
No, we did not question it. We was like, oh, bro got a 30-year-old? Congrats. Yeah.
I would have questioned that.
Well, he was also 20 at the time. So.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
that was another thing.
I'm thinking he's like, right, I mean, it's illegal, but.
It's like
18.
Yeah.
Like 20 is like, that's fine. I don't give a damn about the age gap.
I guess that's okay. It's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if it's my anxiety thing. It's just like, no, I avoid kids like the plague. Kids suck.
I mean, you just gotta look at them like how they look at you.
I can't, because my neck doesn't go that way.
What, up?
Nice. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Anyway, but yes, speaking of necks going that way, Black Lagoon.
Yes, that was an amazing show that came out in, 2006?
Definitely the early 2000s.
Early
2000s. Masterpiece of both in terms of animation, quality, characters,
story.
The story.
You don't see a lot of animes like that these days.
It's and nowadays, one of the most realistic animes that I've ever seen, too.
It's very realistic, and it's always a real treat to see something like that. What always sparked me about it was it's not so much about morals, because every character in this series is devoid of those. It's mm-hmm. more about ethics.
I wouldn't say every character is devoid, but they
and that's why
pay I say, less attention to
it. That's why I say ethics.
Okay.
Because in the end, what are you without your personal ethics to guide you?
A husk?
Those children?
Oh my God. We'll get to them later.
Later.
The kids.
Let's not talk about them right now.
For those of you who aren't familiar with this series, Black Lagoon is an action thriller anime that centers around the crew of the titular PT torpedo boat known as the Black Lagoon. And the crew consists of its captain and their fearless leader, Dutch.
Big black guy. No shit.
No like, bullshit.
No bullshit, period.
And then, of course, you have the poster girl, Revy, a.k.a. Rebecca, although we call her Two Hands Revy because, as I said earlier, gun-toting, rum-soaked oak chick.
In Daisy Dukes.
Yeah.
In Daisy fucking Dukes.
And she's...
With a pair of Berettas.
Yep. She calls them her cutlasses, and... They're a really good weapon for her. And
I'm sorry, I love really badass guns with writing on them.
Yeah.
And
same here. It's like some old trope or something like that.
Yeah. Shout outs to Alucard, shout outs to Dante.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out. Actually, you know what? Maybe I won't do that. But yeah, definitely a shout out to all those awesome anime guns out there.
Yeah.
My favorite still probably Trained Hard Nets gun from Black Cat.
Nice.
I don't know. I think my favorite is still Vash's gun.
That's my second.
Yeah.
Only because it's actually based off an actual model of firearm.
Yeah. Mm. That's the reason why I like it.
Because
it
was Smith and Wesson Schofield Model 3.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to choose a gun, yeah, I would choose Ebony and Ivory from Devil May Cry. Those are my favorite guns.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, you really can't.
Those are some good guns.
But, yeah, for sure. Then, of course, also, you have
Benny.
You have Benny,
the tech
person
genius.
Who is probably the closest I can get to having an anime avatar myself, minus being tech savvy because I'm not. And then, of course, you have
newcomer
Rock.
Oh, his name is full name Okajima Rokuro.
Rokuro Okajima, aka now Rock, because reasons. Basically the newcomer, he was a former salaryman who got screwed over by his company and was left to die in the South China Sea until he got rescued by Lagoon Company. And now you kind of see the whole story unfold through his perspective.
Really, this is a story about someone who got kidnapped and succumbed to their, what is that called?
Lifestyle.
No, when... The kidnappee is
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah,
this is essentially an anime about Stockholm syndrome, and then learning how to live in your environment and coming out of your Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, and I want to say he probably only had Stockholm syrome in episode one. So I felt like he started to embrace it when he said, "Let me join you guys."
Towards the end, yes.
Yeah, I would say that.
Right towards the end of episode two. Yeah. He kind of did break past it because...
I wouldn't say he broke past it because he's still, like, trying to be there with them.
Yeah.
And they're the only people that he really wants to be around. So it's still that Stockholm Syndrome type of thing going on there.
Right.
But later on in the show is when we see him breaking out even more. Just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and do this on my own.
Mm.
He does get broken out in a lot of different ways.
Well, he does, like... Of course, if you're familiar with Breaking Bad, he is the Walter White.
He is definitely has a Walter White type thing going for him.
Like, you live this boring life, regular, normal person, like, just like everyone else. Then suddenly
and it's not like he ever changed either. Like, he still has that mentality of a salaryman. He is by no means a pussy, as we have regularly seen. He's not your titular anime MC. These are not He some stupid cry. Little late teenagers
exactly.
figuring out their emotions. These are all full-fledged adults who have basically lived a good deal of their lives mm-hmm. and have themselves figured out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like they drink, they smoke, they swear.
Mm-hmm.
They do drugs. They shoot people.
Yeah.
They steal.
One of my favorite things about this show is that, yeah, these are like lovable characters, yeah. but they're still bad guys.
They're not good people.
Yeah. They're not good people.
I believe off mic, Bri, you asked, I don't think that there's any good people in this show. And I stopped to think about that.
There is none.
There's really not a single person in the show.
The only good, that is there good. Was, there was only one, there was only one technically good character that showed up. Technically, okay, let's be super technical here. There are some good characters, but every time they show up to the setting of this story, which is a fictional city off coastal Thailand called Ruanapore,
mm-hmm.
does not exist, but I totally could imagine it existing in some way.
Yeah, it's kind of like Madripoor. For yeah. the X-Men world.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's plenty of cities out yeah. there that are just like
this. It's probably based off of a city. I'm sure Ruanapore is
now,
probably
based
fair,
off of whatever Madripoor is. This is also set kind of in between the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, so
that time gap also plays a big role.
It does, because cell phones, although they would be very, very helpful, they are very sparse in this world.
Yes.
No, I mean, they have cell phones. But
no, that's what I'm saying. They have them, but how many of the Lagoon Company have a cell phone?
Oh.
We haven't really
Rock.
Seen. Well, Rock, has, uses,
Rock uses a cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rock uses a cell phone, like, once, and then most of the other time, he's just using a landline.
Yeah, pretty much.
So.
Yeah, that just tells you what era they're in, or at least yeah. what level the technology, their current environment is.
Yeah, because
so there's definitely some I love the ambiguity there. It really...
Yeah,
it's kind of like...
It's basically the town at the edge of the world, and that's coming out of Rock's mouth, although he stated the bar at the end of the world.
But yeah.
we keep going and going about this.
And I love how it has characters from, like, just all over.
All different walks.
Like, we got triads, we got Russians.
We got people who are Taiwanese, you got Americans, you got British, you got Germans, you got... Oh my god, the Germans part was one of my favorite sections. Oh my god.
Those weren't Germans.
No, those were not Germans.
Those
You're right.
Those were... Well, they might have been, but yeah, actually, they might have actually been, but dude, those were just basically... All the assholes that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Oh, those are just basically asshole neo-Nazis.
You know, even the nuns come in and get some, you know.
The nuns.
The rip-off church.
I'm sorry. Those aren't nuns. Those are definitely nuns. Not nuns. No,
they're nuns.
They're nuns.
They're nuns. They're one of them's, like, one of
them. One of them
a
is a nun.
Who, like, has the coolest Desert Eagle I've ever seen.
That is a dope.
That pistol is fucking...
And the fact that she shoots it with one arm, and she's old, and she has an eye patch, so you know it's like
that tells you some shit.
She's a badass.
Oh, she's a badass. It's always the older one.
It's you never mess with someone.
Speaking
older
of
than
the most badass characters in Black Lagoon, it is not the crazy titular gun-toting poster girl, although we all love her very much.
Oof.
It is not the equally attractive.
We talking about Bay?
Wait, there's a few in there.
No, we talking about Bay.
Oh, okay.
You about to mention Bay?
Yeah, you're about to mention Dax Bay.
Yeah.
Old Fry Face, aka Miss Balalaika.
Yes.
Balalaika is Bay. Really dope. Like,
although personally, if I had to pick someone, I prefer Chang a little more.
As one of you're saying for one of the bosses to like back?
Yes.
Or okay. I would back Chang more than Balalaika because he is much less ruthless than Balalaika is.
That
but
Chang.
You said what? But
I think Chang got some ruthlessness.
I don't know. Chang has ruthlessness, but he is more chill than she is because she's been in the Russian military, has mm-hmm. gone through all that training, has been in battles, and has gone to through combat with her own country mm-hmm. over differences. Yeah, she is more terrifying than Chang is.
Chang, yeah, in terms of raw combat ability, absolutely. Although Chang, he's basically a dirty cop who fell into the triads.
Yeah. He's like, but if, he's still... if Lei Wulong used guns and went kind of rogue.
You said it right. Lei Wulong can use guns.
Yeah, he
uses guns. No, he can. He just doesn't really use them that often in Tekken.
I mean, it's Tekken.
Yeah.
Who so uses their weapons in Tekken?
Kunimitsu. Yoshimitsu.
That's the only one. Even Yoshimitsu punches more than he uses his like sword.
He does. He absolutely does. Also, Leroy, he's got that cane, but it breaks.
Yeah. Not in Tekken 8, though.
Not in Tekken
8. Yeah, not in Tekken 8, though. We can't wait.
Yes.
Bandai Namco.
But see, did you see?
Wrong!
Yo, roll that R.
That was awesome.
That R roll. Wrong! I was like, my girl got it, bro.
She is... I am using her as my announcer.
I wish you put her as announcer in everything.
Yes, seriously. I love that.
Please.
Put her in Street Fighter 6. Put her in Tekken 8. Put her in King of Fighters 16.
Shit, put her in King of Fighters 13.
Put her in, like, all the King of Fighters.
Yes. Okay.
All of them.
But out of our segue.
But Bella Lyca, I would follow her because she may be crazy, but she's that disciplined crazy.
Okay.
And I'm cool with that.
You just want her to sit on your ass.
I mean, I follow her at the battle, but yes.
He's just basically saying, step on me, mommy.
No, I'm not saying step on me.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Because I'm not that tight. I'm the type to say, come sit on my lap, lady. I'm the type to say, yeah, we're going to have a fight here. Mm. And then we're going to make love doing it. Nah, no sell me. Like, Marissa's the same way. No sell me, mommy. Don't pick me up. Okay. We're fighting into this. That's our foreplay.
Okay. I got nothing else to say on that.
But yeah,
I could probably nurse Roberta back to health if I wanted to.
I'm good. Roberta can stay where she is.
Nah, she can come over here too.
I got everything you need right here. I'm good at this. Just go ahead. I have experience.
Oh, yeah. When she was covered in blood, bro, I wanted that.
Also, for those of you who don't know who Roberta is, she is a...
maid. That's it.
Yeah, she is a maid.
Moving on.
Who is so fucking terrifying that she had an entire arc dedicated to her. Twice.
Yes.
That's all you need to know. We're not spoiling anything for you. You have to go...
go watch it.
Check this out or read the manga yourself.
Yeah. The first season is on Hulu. The second season is much more difficult to acquire.
I believe Funimation has them.
Funimation and Crunchyroll does have them. Yeah. You gotta pay for it though.
But of course, you know, you know what to do if you watch anime.
Yeah.
You know what you gotta do.
You know what you gotta do.
We're not endorsing this.
At all.
Endorsing, what are you talking about?
What are we endorsing?
I'm endorsing Funimation, Hulu, and yeah, that's it.
We're not endorsing anything
besides Hulu and Funimation.
Exactly. And Funimation. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
But anyway, speaking of exactly.
So, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly how many times has Revy shot her gun? I was trying to segue that. I'm sorry.
I don't know how many times, but I do know that the sound that those guns make, I really like the sound of it.
It's very distinct. Like, yeah, probably up into the thousands on that question, Zach.
Yeah.
But so basically here's my gun-taku-aku mode going on here. So essentially Revy's Cutlass are a pair of customized Beretta ETA 92s, most likely given an all chrome ohm finish, which is actually beneficial for the climate they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a trust. It's just the same with the Japanese Arasaka Aka rifles. They had chrome lined barrels to help with tropical climates to prevent rusting and stuff like that.
Okay.
So having a chrome ohm pistol makes actually a lot of sense. It also, not only does it look cool, it actually protects it from humidity and shit. Yeah.
Functionality and fashionability.
Indeed. Yeah. And as for. Maybe that plays into why the gun sounds so unique when it goes off. I don't think so. I think that's just Hiroe's
Yeah, I think that might be their sound choices for that specifically.
But again, really great emphasis on the gun battles. I mean, obviously, there's a few things that so-called tactical professionals would chime in about, like, where are the reloads, man? It's anime. Shut the fuck up, Dale.
Yeah, like, I actually was thinking about the reloads when I was watching this, and I was just like...
It's anime.
Yeah, it's anime. You see her drop some mags, and then...
But you do see...
That's it.
There is some definite effluent. Again, it's still an anime.
Yeah. It's still anime.
You still see a bunch of anime waifus. It's just these anime waifus are fucking morally devoid women who like guns and money.
Oh, and blades too.
And in all honesty, Levy's over here in whole gunfights in Daisy Dukes in a tank top.
Indeed.
While smoking and acting very nonchalant.
Right. Same thing for the, I forget her name, the nun lady.
Etta.
Same thing for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Etta is a nun from the ripoff church.
Is she a nun?
Man, you guys...
Quote unquote nun. There you go.
Or is she a,
She's a CIA operative.
She's gonna kill you.
I'll go ahead and spoil that. There's a whole manga that Hiroe did that's a spinoff of, and I'm dedicated to her early career.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know about it.
It talks about how she was a CIA agent in the beginning, and it's an actual Black Lagoon spinoff.
Oh, okay, so they should animate that, actually.
I hope they do.
I'll check that out. Because she's a cool character.
Etta is a very fun character.
Mm. Yeah. But I love all her church puns.
Yeah. she makes religion fun. That's all I can say.
She made you want to go to church, to a Catholic church, nonetheless.
Right? Please, no.
I need some guns, though.
Seriously.
You would absolutely need guns in there.
And booze.
Yeah.
And hookers.
And then we also got, like, all the weaponry, too, that's there.
Yeah.
So much weaponry.
Yeah. That church is a fortress.
It is.
God damn it! So I just had some Jehovah's Witnesses come in. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to go back to... What we were talking about. The ripoff church, not this other ripoff church.
Yeah, I mean, they could have been a part of the ripoff church. they could have been a part of the ripoff church. You never know.
Yeah.
You did close the door on them, like, too fast.
I had a conversation with them. I had a short conversation.
You sure they weren't hinting at, like, yeah, we're here. We're Jehovah's Witnesses. Wink, wink. We want to give you a pamphlet. Wink,
they did
wink.
Give me a pamphlet. I threw it away.
It could have had guns in it.
It didn't. I opened it.
You sure?
Yes.
Boring.
Yes.
Did you turn to page 35?
They didn't have page 35. It went up to page 3.
Did you turn to page 2.5 and 3/4?
Yes.
Drugs?
Damn it.
It was just
were there drugs?
No, there were no drugs.
There was
even worse.
There's no cocaine in it?
No. This is why I would much rather go to the ripoff church.
They have everything.
Exactly.
They have liqueurs.
Oh, man. So many liqueurs.
So much
rum, tequila, scotch, whiskey. Oh,
Jemay.
I do like that scene, though, at the church. When we first are introduced to the church.
Yeah.
Where we first start to see Rock actually get used to the environment. Because he's
really just actually just see Rock use his skills.
Yeah.
I.e.
Yeah.
all that business skills he learned.
Which I'm like, see, my philosophy, one of my philosophies is that business is business, whether it's out on the street or in the office. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Not the exact same thing, but in terms of like negotiation.
It's the same negotiation process. It's the same process. Exactly.
Negotiation, everything we do in life is a form of negotiation one way or another.
Exactly. Yeah. So those skills that he learned in the office, he applied them
to the street.
Exactly.
Did well.
That's what he did. And it worked.
So what you're saying is Black Lagoon is really what you could use to teach yourself to get into the low lives.
No.
I still wouldn't say that. It's still anime fire.
Well, obviously. It's but you could see how, like, still. You could use your skills in any situation.
I mean, you will learn that lesson, yeah, but to say, like, Black Lagoon will teach you the streets, oh, hell no.
Oh, no. Black Lagoon is not there to teach you the streets. Black Lagoon is probably there to tell you what the streets are really like.
I think those streets are... Nah, it's probably much worse in real life.
It's still glorified to an extent.
Yeah, it's still glorified.
As somebody who grew up in the hood, that's...
I've seen some things in Black Lagoon that was like, yeah, I probably have seen that more than a few times in the hood.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Unfortunately, any form of TV entertainment is glorified to an extent. It has to be.
Yeah, and but like seeing just Rock just actually come out of his shell a little bit during that time.
Yeah.
And actually save the day, too. Mm-hmm. And then you start to see what his talent really is.
Yeah.
Because like Benny said, it's like when they had that conversation between him and Rock, you know, we're not meant to be out here fighting. We're meant to be inside. We're the guys in the chair.
Yeah.
You're the negotiator, essentially. You know, you're the pretty face who's just, you know, you're there to be my negotiator type mm-hmm. stuff, you know?
He is literally the guy that's supposed to have the suit on, that's supposed to be like, hey, these are our terms.
Yeah.
Do you accept?
Yeah.
No? Okay. I'll go back, let them know. Whatever happens, happens.
Exactly. That's
my client prefers to get good news right away.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And you definitely see that at the end where, oh, you're the mastermind of the group now.
Yeah.
Like, literally towards the end of, like, the Roberto Bloody Trail arc.
Yeah, which this show is 3 seasons long, technically.
Yeah.
But they continue it as just one long story.
Yeah. So it's similar to Trigun.
Yeah, very similar to Trigun.
Yeah, very much so. God.
Like, you have, like, little just stories in between, like, the mainline. Even though there's, like, no real mainline story in this.
You know what? I would say it's more like Trigun mixed with Cowboy Bebop.
I mean, Cowboy Bebop's the same way.
I would say Cowboy Bebop is more episodic than...
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop is purely episodic.
No, I thought the original Trigun was episodic. But Cowboy Bebop did have, like...
Trigun was episodic from the beginning, that eventually the story started to take off.
Yeah, I think once you meet Wolfwood is when the story is like, no, we're going down this one path.
Yeah, that's when the story begins to...
Okay, then I'll just say Cowboy Bebop.
Deviate and the world kind of starts to come together. But yeah, Cowboy Bebop...
I would agree that it is kind of like Cowboy Bebop. But
whereas Black Lagoon's pacing, I would say, is much more traditional as far as anime goes.
It's more traditional.
It's more about the character development than it is about the mainline story.
It's all about how the characters interact, and that's how the story truly begins to develop through the characters.
I can see it working like that, but the way I saw it was, you have these characters, and then you just put them into the situation. But there's always a volatile situation, some situation that's very tense. How do they get around the situation?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's what I like
about it. We shoot them.
Well, that's mostly the answer. Sometimes you don't even have to shoot them. Sometimes you can just stab them, leave them in the swimming pool.
Yeah. Or cut their hands off.
Oh, yeah.
And push them into the swimming pool. That's what you then use the sheath of your sword. Push them down in the pool.
Just let us know when you want to cut up a prayer.
Yep, that's all you got to do.
I'm just saying.
That was hilarious.
That was funny.
Don't get that reference, but...
What? What reference?
What you were talking about just now.
Oh!
That was Dude with the Sword.
Yeah.
In the last arc of the second season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Right. The Sword.
I forget his name, but he was cool,
Chaka.
Too.
Oh, no, not Chaka. Chaka was the dude that got drowned.
Yeah, I forgot what his name was, but yeah,
I know Revy called him Jumbo.
Yeah, he would.
What's his name? Genji?
I think something like that. Some kind of
Genji the White Scabbard.
Yeah,
yeah.
But point is that fight with him and Levy. No, like
Revy.
Revy,
not Levy.
Sorry, my bad, bro. I just misspoke. It's okay. I'll leave Bay alone. I got him right. Thank you. I'm just playing, but no. With Revy
is my Bay.
See, exactly. My bad. Okay, bro, put the knife down. He's about to cut me, guys.
I have way too many weapons in this room.
It's just mine to do.
We got pistols over here. We got AKs over there. You know, in case we have a bad day.
Wait, chill. This is on a podcast, dude. They don't even know
how many incriminating stuff have we said on this podcast?
We've said a lot of incriminating things.
Yeah. Let me put away my rocket launcher. Excuse me. But no.
Don't keep those next to the grenades.
I mean, that's where they go.
Where'd the Barrett go?
Joe?
No. I put a couple of mines by the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Joe's here, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Should have blamed Theo. But it's fine. But yeah, no. They were... just like that fight with... Where they were working together. Because, like, I was actually, as I was watching this anime, I was thinking of Levi as Spider-Man, where everyone just get paired up with her. Like, if you're a badass, you just get paired up with Revy, at least at first.
You do. You get paired up with Revy, and then, you know what? In this show, if you're a badass and you just show up, you get paired up with Revy, yeah. And you either fight her or you fight with her.
Yes.
And depending on how either one of those goes, you could end up just like, oh, yeah, we're cool, and walking away.
And in that guy's case, he got both.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got both. I think everyone got a little bit of both. Like, if you worked with Revy, more than likely you're going to at least point your gun at her.
I mean, unless you use blades, like, what's her name?
Shenhua.
Yeah.
Not like calling Shenhua. Her that other name.
No, not calling her the other name.
I'm not calling her the other one.
Not the one that Revy calls her with such love.
Even though tenderness. Technically that's like using the N-word.
It is. It is.
You can get away with it.
If you're...
Because you're Chinese-American, yeah, so I can't...
She can get away with that, but...
Yeah.
Revy has... I think that's one of the reasons why I don't think we'll see any more installations of Black Lagoon in the future with today's political climate and with Revy having no fucking filter whatsoever. As much as we all love it, mm-hmm. There's plenty of other people out there that are equal amounts hated. And unfortunately, those people really seem to scare producers and directors for some reason.
Oh, they have the money that the producers need to make this stuff, so...
No, they don't. They're just a loud majority. Or minority.
Oh, yeah.
They're literally a loud
minority. Oh, you're talking about the not the...
No, I'm talking about
investors are always going to be skittish about everything.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking that you were talking about. I'm talking about like the dregs on Twitter. And yeah. Yes, I'm saying dregs as an insult to those people who are very, very, lack of a better term, snowflakey.
Yeah. Like, which is who I assume that's what Brian was talking about.
Yes, that's okay. What I was talking about, the snowflakes.
So, okay. Like, I ain't worried about
no them. Safe space no, I'm not will keep you safe from me.
Not even Snowflake will keep you safe?
Not even Safe Space will keep them safe from me.
Mm. Man, what happened to those characters, Snowflake and Safe Space?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Wait, what did happen to them? Now I'm curious.
New Warriors never happened.
Oh, that's right.
It never happened. I still don't think issue one came out.
No, it didn't.
If it
so
did,
about those twins.
Snowflake and you mean Snowflake and Safe Space?
No, not those twins. The other twins.
The evil murder twins.
Yes, the evil murder twins.
The vampire twins.
Yes, yeah, the two twins from Transylvania.
Salhov and Menhov, I think were their names.
I don't remember what they were saying, but yeah. Those two. They're twins. One's a girl, yeah. One's a boy. Mm-hmm. And...
Or are they?
Good question. Good question. We don't know.
At first, I thought it was a drag thing.
No.
There was that moment in the ship where old girl did look like her brother for a second.
And then, I don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. We know they're twins, but...
Yes.
Yeah, that was a special brand of fucked up.
Yeah, the sister uses guns. The brother uses
ass axe. No, the sister uses a fucking M2. I'm pretty sure it was one of those heavy machine guns. A little fucking 10-year-old girl carrying an M2 Bravo or some shit.
Yeah, dude. Something that's literally impossible for her to carry.
And then you have the fucking brother with his little hatchet and that whole little
that hatchet was not little. Compared to his body.
That hatchet put in work.
It put in lots of work until Balalaika saw it.
Yeah, she was like, oh, you got a hatchet?
Oh, shoot. That's cute.
That's adorable.
Hey, somebody shoot this kid for me? Bow! Do it again. Bow! Thank you.
You're going to bleed out.
Like,
I'm going to watch you bleed out.
Exact, that moment.
Yeah, that's just the end of one of them.
And low-key, I thought some BS was going to happen, but I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah.
Like, no. I thought he was going to get up and have like a secret gun or something, or someone's going to shoot her.
Nope. Nah. It was super realistic. He got his arm blown off. He got kneecapped by a sniper rifle.
Yes.
And then, that was it. And then, like, right towards the end when you think she's going to lit, if the guy fucking pops one right between her eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened to the other one. The quote-unquote sister.
The sister.
And, yeah, that one was a little more surprising because it was like, okay, she's going to go scot-free. Well, not scot-free, but she's going to get away and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Nope. I had a feeling she was going to, something was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I knew something was
going to happen. I just thought it was going to be a whole army waiting for her.
I thought it was too, but yeah, no, it was just one dude.
That totally shocked. That was a crazy twist when you see that and you see Rock's face. It's like, yeah. But then it all comes full circle. Like, oh, right.
Yep.
Yeah. This is the world you're in. Like, these are not good people.
Nope. Even the not kids. At all. Even the children are not good people. And, unfortunately for the kids, they were raised that way.
Yeah,
so I mean, that could give an argument towards nature versus nurture.
Yeah, like we're not going to go into huge detail on that. That isn't actually a very dark subject.
It is very dark if you all want to discuss
that particular arc is probably about as dark as they could get.
You know what? I think that might be why it's not on Hulu.
That's definitely why it's not on Hulu. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I think that's where Black Lagoon made its dark turn.
Oh, it did.
Like, the first half of it, or season one, or whatever you want to call it, was like, yeah, these are still bad guys. And yes,
yeah,
still,
but they were killing Nazis, and...
Yeah, like, and other bad guys.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, cool.
Fine. Yeah, they were like, yeah, like, they were doing, like, all that stuff, but... And like, and again, glorified. Then this arc came out, and you saw what made these children what they were, and you realize, oh wait, we know the people that did this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why is it our problem?
Because now they're a product of their situation, and they're embracing their darker side.
And once they started embracing that dark side, it became a real problem.
Right.
Now, as you can see in the show.
Instead of being a problem to those guys, you're a problem to everyone now.
Yeah. And when you're a problem to everyone, not those who you employ, you gotta go.
And then, like, after that, it was when every fucking hitman and the occasional eccentric psycho came out of the woodwork to try and kill one little girl who made counterfeit monies.
That one was amazing.
That was a fun arc.
That was fun.
That was fun. That was a fun little bit.
I believe we needed that arc because it was very lighthearted.
It was a palate cleanser.
Yeah, it was definitely a palate cleanser.
We needed how many episodes? A 4-episode palate cleanser?
Yeah. No. Now think about that. We needed a 4-episode palate cleanser.
Yeah, because that vampire...
That's how bad the twins were. Was
just... That's like... You get to meet some other characters.
Yeah.
And you got to meet, like, a fucking Mormon with a flamethrower, which is fucking poetic.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. That dude was...
And then, like, I can't... Now, imagine if he was voiced by the guy who voiced Joshua Graham from New Vegas.
I don't know the voice.
The Burn Man.
Don't know it.
Yeah, I forgot him, too.
Damn.
But
like, he's just like this Mormon warlord. In one of the DLCs.
Oh, he's one of the factions.
He's a guy. He was the guy in that DLC expansion when you're in the valley and he has the bandages all over his face.
Oh, I have to see him to remember him, but
yeah, I have no clues about.
So you end up just some crazy Mormon with a flamethrower who literally tortures his wife alive.
And the cleaner, who's my favorite.
Oh, see, the Mormon. Cleaner. She was great.
Yeah.
She has a voice box because she got the throat slashed.
Yep.
But.
She's still alive, though.
Yeah, she's still alive and kicking, and she walks around with a big chainsaw.
Yep. Well, but you can block with, like, two pistols.
She's a cleaner.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, once in a while, I like to enjoy, you know, doing a job, because I clean all
day. Once she started having that monologue and had to take one hand off of her weapon to speak, I was like, oh, this chick is wild.
And how do you beat her? Have her lose her voice box.
Yep. That's it. Just knock that receiver out of her hand, and then
you're
good. She's gonna collapse.
Now you're adorable.
Yeah,
you're not scary anymore.
No, look at you.
And then like, that was definitely a palate cleanser.
It needed to, because how many episodes did we spend on the twins? Like three,
or I think it was like three or four. And all you heard and saw through that was, oh my God, these kids were treated so badly that they're doing these things to people. And no, these kids just got to die. When I saw these kids, like just looking at these kids, the first time that you see them, I thought the same thing I thought about Orochimaru. What? Why are they not dead?
I mean, Orochimaru, that's just like, bro, y'all could have killed him a long time ago.
Yes. I blame Hiruzen.
Too nice.
Even in the Leaf Village, you gotta look at it. It was so many spies, man.
It was. Which is why I don't understand why Orochimaru was still alive, even as a child.
Come on. He had to leave the village just to see what he was doing, because I mean, he joined in a clan and shit. He couldn't give word back. We know Danzo was running shit.
Yeah, Danzo should have been dead too.
Taking eyeballs and shit, and who found out? Itachi at 8.
Yeah, and what did Itachi do? Killed his entire clan.
Yeah.
And not the dude who was stealing his clan's eyeballs.
That sounds so wrong.
I know, it does.
but it does sound wrong, but you gotta look at it. Itachi's cousin told him what was going on, and he gave his eyes to Itachi.
One of them.
Yeah. Hey, we're talking about Black Lagoon, not some Naruto BS you guys are talking about.
Like,
If we steal eyeballs in Black Lagoon, you're not going to get a replacement eyeball.
Some people just need to die, and any those kids,
they just need to die.
Tragic as it was, needed to die.
Like, I feel bad for you.
Yes,
but you have to go.
Absolutely,
you got it.
And that was my whole point for bringing that up.
Yeah, they
just need to die.
And then old girl might. Then, kind of have been saved if it was for Rock, but maybe, she needed to go.
Yeah,
it was a comfort at most, but after that, we of course go into the next arc, which was
the counterfeit money arc.
No, that was the counterfeit money arc.
But the one after the counterfeit money arc
was the Yakuza arc.
That was the Yakuza arc. Yeah. And the Yakuza arc was great because Rock finally got to go back home. Yay!
He still didn't see his parents.
No, Stockholm syndrome. Like I told you.
No, because he was an asshole.
Oh yeah, they said that he's legally dead.
He was legally dead. Yeah.
But still. I would have still showed up like, hey, I'm not dead. They just declared me that.
Nah, because then...
And you two are assholes.
Yeah.
Right, but you also...
Also, suck my balls.
Yes.
But also, like, you have the baggage of, like, if they know I'm alive, they might say something, and then that's even more attention on them.
Yeah.
You also have that part of it, too.
In Japanese society, it is, I don't want to cause any trouble, so...
Granted, that wasn't ultimately his reason.
Yeah.
But it's like, I wouldn't do it because...
It's just like...
Yeah.
It's just like... He even said it after that. Like after failing my first attempt at college, they didn't expect much. So it's like, you don't really care much for me. Why did I ever once care anything for you? I mean, like, thanks for, you know, feed me for all those years, but like, whatever.
I can see that.
I have a boating job now.
Yeah, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Let's call it a boating job.
Boating.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We're
boating. Anyway, he works on a boat.
I work on a boat now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, and that was that whole arc was also.
I just thought of I'm on a boat. That just popped in my head. Sorry. Go ahead.
Of course.
I just you're not love. That
was so good. Wow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, no, that arc was. I'll stop. First off, you get to see more firsthand of how fucking ruthless Balalaika is.
Yeah,
and like how unprepared the Yakuza were to deal with her.
How unprepared Japan itself was to deal with her.
To be fair, I think everyone
is unprepared. How Rock was unprepared to deal with her. The only person prepared to deal with Balalaika in that whole segment was Revy.
No. I think it was Rock.
Really?
Because I think it's wrong.
Because, okay. No. Yeah. I can see why. But yeah. I want to hear what. Why
he,
you say?
Let's hear so this. When he had that, when they were in the garage, right?
Yeah.
Talking, right.
And he just spoke to her. Mm-hmm. I think he knew he was going to get away with it, but he still took that chance.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That show why?
Because Revy was like, don't do it because yeah. that's Bella Laika. But he's also like, I got this.
And then it's like. Okay, in all honesty, the only thing I remember from that scene is that Revy kept complaining that she's at her limit.
Yeah.
And that she just really wants to shoot already.
My trigger finger's itchy.
Yeah.
Can we stop this now?
But it's the fact that he had balls, which is why.
But at the same time,
okay, I get that.
If you look at it in a later point, it's because despite everything he tried to do, because he was trying to save the girl and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In reality, they mm-hmm. were going to kill her one way or another.
Yeah, exactly.
He was... And Roberta's blood trail happened after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all learned that Rock is a pawn. Rock is the blank. Rock is... Well, Rock.
Yeah. Rock is Rock. And see, now that we're talking about it, I think like the Yakuza arc or whatever it's called.
Yeah, we don't have a definite name for these arcs.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are, but.
Yeah, like we got.
Yeah, we don't know them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like the Yakuza arc is where you saw Rock try to save everyone but fail. But the Roberta arc is where he actually succeeds in that.
Mm, he doesn't.
I can see that.
So.
He saves the key players.
He didn't succeed. He got the best results he could get from
I
think that's what he was working for.
Exactly. I think that's literally what he was working for, because that is literally the best result you can get.
And after
watching two seasons of Black Lagoon and seeing this final arc, you won.
Yeah, you won, definitely.
There's 200 bodies behind you, but guess what? We saved these 10 people.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, like, it's for Black Lagoon, that's, yeah. It's like,
that was a happy ending.
So Roberta's lucky to be there.
Yeah.
In several pieces.
Yes.
But she's lucky.
She's lucky to be alive and breathing.
Thank you, Rock.
Like, oh my God, she should be dead.
But she wasn't.
Should be.
And now she's a wanted terrorist.
She was always a wanted terrorist.
She was always a wanted terrorist.
Yeah, she was always.
And now she's a wanted terrorist on the run.
Well, she was also always on the run, too. She just kind of stayed in one spot.
Yeah.
Because nobody else was going to say, yeah, this is the Bloodhound? You're going to go get her right there?
Are you the Bloodhound?
Yeah.
Hey, you!
If you knew somebody whose nickname was the Bloodhound, and you knew their military background, would you want to go up to them and be like, hey, Bloodhound, how's it going?
Fuck no.
There you go.
You just go to him like, hey, what up, Bloodhound? How's it going, bro? You good, man? How's it going, man? How's that military? You know, you talked about that confidential mission you went on, you know, where you kept those kids? Yeah, bro. Yeah.
So, yeah, with all that, no, I totally understand why no one wanted to mess with her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
And even still, with her missing limbs, like, I'm terrified of her.
Yeah. She fucking bit a machete in half.
Again, add that to Heihachi energy.
Yeah.
Another character with Heihachi energy.
If she was wearing black Air Force throughout this whole thing,
she literally punched a man's skull into mush with her fist.
Yeah.
She fisted a man to death.
Yes, she did.
She did.
Damn.
And I thought he was going to get some punani.
He thought
he was getting some punani.
Instead, he got a belt buckle full of 22. Yep. 22 in a punch party.
Right in the nuts.
Damn. Yeah. But that's pretty much the whole series, and it's a really good series. Yeah.
I guess I could talk a little bit about what happens after that.
Oh, yeah, because you read the manga, and...
What's up?
I know it does continue.
So, basically, pretty much right after that, some other things current up. This is about as far as the manga is currently, because I think...
It's still going, right?
It's on hiatus.
It's on hiatus.
Okay. This is the latest arc, which involves a group... Basically, a group of European police? Okay, from what I understand, and they were a group that was attached to sort of like this old colonial branch of French intelligence.
Okay.
They're kind of like FBI for third world countries in their colony states.
Interpol? Not Interpol.
Not Interpol.
Yeah, I was thinking Interpol, but...
It's called, they're called, it was called the CAS. It's French for Civilian Action Service. Okay. And like I said, they're basically like a colonial version of the FBI or something like that. Okay. They kind of solve major crimes for the colonies.
Okay.
And let's make something very clear here that the French colonies never stopped. They never stopped.
Yeah.
They never left.
No, well, they're still there now.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Anyway. No, like, old French's old colonies are still...
Oh, all colonies. Of them? I thought some of them had, Okay.
No. Like maybe Nigeria, but...
No. That's the one I thought.
Yeah, probably. But, no, most of them, like Senegal and all them, no.
Yeah.
No. Still speaking French, still.
Yeah. There's the
still relying on still relying on French support. Yeah. Yeah.
Reason why I'm not a fan of the French.
they did that one due diligence where they gave the people of Chad air support, and that's about it.
That's it.
Anyway, so basically it's of course a group of girls. And
obviously.
And basically they're all trying to track down a certain black man. Who was a certain Barry? Mayor who may or may not have been a certain warlord of a certain African nation.
Ooh. Oh. Is that me?
It's not Dutch.
I was thinking Dutch first, but I was like, no, it's not Dutch.
It was implied that it was Dutch's father.
Is Ooh. Dutch's father Idi Amin?
No.
Okay.
I don't know, but he had a different name. But, yeah, basically, I think this is kind of like a culmination. This arc is kind of like a culmination of what everything that happened until that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rock is now much more comfortable with being a heartless, manipulative asshole.
Okay.
Than he was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like everyone else is like, yeah. This is the portion of Rock's life where he actually has some respect in Rwanapar.
Okay.
He's not just some weird guy who I was like, ah, poor guy.
Is he still wearing that shirt and tie?
Yes, he is.
Of course
he is.
Damn it.
I would not put that past him. Like, he's not taking it off.
Basically, this group is still vehemently doing dumb shit. Like, this isn't like the twins. Okay, like, because the twins were stirring shit up, but these people had an actual purpose right. when they stirred shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not prepared for what was coming their way. And when it came, Rock pulled out all the stops and everybody came out the woodwork and they came out hard.
Mm,
okay. These little girls didn't stand two chances, man. stick to hopscotch. Wow. Stick to like go back to school. Go back to wherever you were. It's like all these girls were like, even though they like have experience in clandestine operations, like they weren't ready for Rwanapar.
No one's ready for Rwanapar
unless you're from Rwanapar.
Yeah,
and yeah, basically it just ends with them getting a new member of the Lagoon Company.
Oh, really?
Because one of them, like, basically the person who got off the others into that situation in the first place, because she kept flying off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
Handle, who also ended up losing her eye and ended up getting screwed over.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, that all happened. And then her name is, I don't know how to pronounce it in French. I just call her Little Major because it's like Le Major or something like that.
Mm.
But I just call her Little Major because she's a little girl in a suit with an eye patch and twin tails.
Okay.
And I guess there was another arc before that involved the Chinese government.
Of course.
And it basically involved a spy who basically got rocked.
Mm.
Like, the same thing that happened to Rock happened to her.
Okay.
And she ended up being on the run from everybody. It's kind of like It's kind of like Greenback Jane arc all over again.
Okay.
Except this time, Rock actually screwed Jane, and she had to leave Rwanapur.
Wow.
Because she tried selling the spy out, and so Rock kind of got involved and sold her out by fucking with her business.
So Rock did the Japanese thing to do.
Yep. And
good for Rock.
And like, so that happened. And like, and Benny was so chill about it, because you know they were.
Benny is always chill.
Because you know Benny and that girl were an item, right?
Benny yeah. and Jane. Jane.
Yeah. And he's just like, it's basically been the worst work of my life. No, this has been basically been the worst week of my life. That was his response to everything.
He just accepts everything for what they are.
He's so chill.
He's like, this has basically been I lost my girlfriend, my instruments are, I had to replace my instruments again, and the car's busted. This has basically been the worst week of my life. I'm like, okay.
You work with the Lagoon Company, and this was the worst week of your life?
But yeah, basically, like, that all happened, and then the Chinese chick developed a thing for Rock.
Sure, Revy was very pleased about that.
I was gonna say,
Revy does not. Okay, listen, Revy and Rock's relationship is fucking amazing because, like, they don't give a fuck.
I mean, given the situation.
I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, obviously, Revy was kind of like throwing jabs at him and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But
that's what she does at this point.
Yeah, like that's like that. Not really. Like she's like, yeah. Oh, got yourself another one, huh? Am I not good enough for you? Is that it? Huh? Damn. Huh? Huh?
Wow.
He's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He's him just being oblivious.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's like, no, not like that at all. He's just like, shut up, bitch. He's like, anyway, that all happened, and we got to see Revy in lingerie, which was... Revy in thigh-high boots.
Was she holding a gun?
No, but she was holding another girl by a leash.
Close enough.
And that all happened, and there was a bunch of assassins, and it was interesting.
Mm.
But it doesn't top the last arc that's been recorded in the manga. And I'm really hoping that Hiroe comes back and gives us more.
When did it go on hiatus?
I forget. It's been on hiatus for a while.
For a while? Like years?
Almost. Like,
mm-hmm.
But like... He never said he discontinued it.
Right.
But he does still do it. But at the same time, you have to remember, Rei Hiroe is more than just a mangaka. Like, Rei Hiroe is also a major producer in the anime world.
Okay.
A lot of big names have been produced by him.
Okay.
He did a lot of work.
Okay. So he's getting checks.
Yeah, just, if you want to know what he did, check him out, search him. You'll
like,
find out.
Like, Black Lagoon is still one of the best things that he ever did, and he still loves it, but
mm-hmm.
he also, yeah, he's Rei Hiroe is a pretty big name.
Yeah, and I could see him just saying, like, okay, I got some time now, let's write a whole other arc of Black Lagoon.
Yeah,
I could
see him doing that. Yeah so kudos to that, kudos to Black Lagoon, kudos to Hiroe-san.
Yeah. Yeah, good call.
Love your work.
Good call on this one,
Ryan. Thanks for doing the series.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get to see more from you soon.
Oh, thanks.
And hopefully all of you guys get to see more. All the fans and all the people who might have listened to this and gotten curious. Black Lagoon,
mm-hmm.
again, check it out on Hulu. Check it out on Funimation. Check it out on Crunchyroll. Check out the manga if you get a chance.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious of the manga.
Yeah, I am too. I had not read the manga at all. So
the manga, what I love about the manga compared to anime is all the little details that they often tend to leave out.
Yeah,
which
that's what I was.
Sense. Like in the manga and the Blood Trail arc,
mm-hmm.
when you see her with the hanger, you actually see her do.
She actually
fucking does that shit with the hanger and stuff.
Oh.
You actually see all those little bits.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there's also a lot of other little things in Hiroe's art style that you don't see. Like in the first chapter, Revy looks much different than how she does now.
Oh, okay. So it was probably like his own art style developing
Like in the first chapter, her hair was fucking down. Like she did not look anything like how she turned out throughout the rest of it. So like that was always really interesting to me.
Mm.
But all in all, Black Lagoon, one of my all-time favorites. Same I would here. Strongly recommend yeah. you guys check it out.
Yeah.
I do as well. I caught it when it first came out all those years ago, and I've not stopped talking about it since.
Yeah, this is my first time watching. I missed it the first time around. I think I heard of Black Lagoon, but like Black Cat, I just never checked it out. You know, because it's always one of those animes or mangas on the shelf or you see around.
Black Cat was always sort of a gateway anime for an entire generation. I
never saw Black Cat.
Because the Funimation had its own TV channel and Black Cat was always airing on it.
Yeah, I never seen Black Cat.
I never watched it.
No.
You've never seen it either?
No.
That was one of the earlier animes I watched when I first started watching it more seriously. Mm. That was back when you could see bits of anime on YouTube.
I miss those days. I literally watched all of Final Fantasy. What was that one? I forgot the
Final
name.
Final Fantasy Unlimited?
Yes. I watched all of Final Fantasy Unlimited on YouTube.
Weird.
Yeah, I know.
Weird ass series.
It was so weird. There's a dude named Black Cloud. And
is he a Black Cloud?
No.
Okay.
Then like, Sephiroth was in there?
Maybe. I don't remember. It was so weird. I watched it when I was in college, and we were like, the group that was watching it with me, we were all just like, what the fuck is going on with this series? Like,
that did come on Cartoon Network, like Adult Swim, right?
No. Final Fantasy Unlimited never aired over here.
No, there's an English dub.
There's an English dub, but it didn't air.
Yes.
So it came out via videotape and DVDs.
Yes. Basically.
I'm surprised you said videotape.
I was thinking of FYE.
VHS. Yeah, right? Yeah. No, it was.
Those were the days.
Yeah, the ancient times.
Fucking. My first fucking anime ever. I think I was like 5 years old and Dad brought a copy of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
That was a mistake. that intro song was amazing, but my God, once you got into the show, it was like, this is not for kids.
This is not for kids
at all.
There's a reason why that was an adult Swim.
Like, because
my name is Shinji Ikari. I'm an average 14-year-old middle school student.
Shut up and get in a robot.
What? Shut up and get in a robot.
What? Shut up and get in a robot.
What? Wait, I'm in a robot? What the fuck is going on? Who the hell? Who the hell is this bitch? What is that bitch?
Shinji,
what's going on?
Shinji, shut up and get in a robot.
And that's I'm in the robot, you fucking idiot!
Okay, go kill the angel.
And that's only first.
Well, what?
And that's only the first two episodes.
But, I mean, from all them parts, you know, he was either he jump in or jump out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it. My friend looked like Shinji Ikari's dad. And I'd be like, damn, Commander Ikari, come on, man. You have all these glasses. You're like, oh, shit.
I had a professor that looked like him. And the first week of me going to class, he was like, why do you keep laughing? And eventually I had to tell him, like, you look like Shinji Ikari's dad. And he was like, who? So I brought in a picture one day, and he was like, I need to change my haircut.
He was coming to school wearing white gloves?
No, he didn't have a white glove.
He like...
Until winter came, and he forgot about that. And he wore white gloves and had the same hairstyle again.
So you sure it wasn't just him? You sure it wasn't just him?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't him. You probably he wasn't him. Japanese.
Look, walk in that room. Large prototype one.
No, he was I forgot to talk about this character. I'll say this and we'll end it.
Okay.
Remember the I forget his name, but when they fought that militia group, they had like that mellow guy that was the leader of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like he met with, like, you just reminded me, like, when he... was talking to the guy in the airport, and that guy asked him like, "What do you do?" And he just walks away like, "You know, I'm just some guy, but low key, I'm an enemy of the state."
Yep.
That's what your professor was like.
That's what he was.
Like you're like, "Who are you?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm just some professor.
I'm just a professor,
but low key,
I'm trying to take over the world."
Right.
Busting their rear end.
All right,
shut up, Rufo Monger.
So yeah, that's all I have for this show. I just want you all to go out and watch it.
Check it out.
If you got any comments, let us know.
Yes.
Pretty please.
Thank you, Brian, for the suggestion.
Yeah.
Shout out to
no
you.
No problem. No problem. I'm glad we all enjoyed ourselves with this one.
I mean, I love girls with guns.
Who doesn't?
I like girls, guns, and money, so...
You know, this was another anime around the time of Hellsing and Hellsing Ultimate.
Oh, was it?
Indeed it was.
I was wondering about that, because... What was it about anime that had... Yeah, we're going to have at least one Nazi bad guy.
You know what? Around that time, it was a bunch of animes that was like, Nazis.
Yeah.
Just, who's the bad guy? Nazis.
Jigzim!
Yeah. Like, really, because the way I see the government in Full Metal Alchemist, I kind of see them as Nazis.
I mean, yeah.
I'll be... Like,
yeah.
In Brotherhood...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what else came out around that time?
What else came out around that time, Thomas?
Besides Full Metal Alchemist, the first one, not Brotherhood, that came out a little bit later. But no, that's still kind of around the time because Brotherhood and manga. Manga was out, and then the first series came out, and then the second series came out like what, 5 years later?
Yeah, a few years later.
Yeah, so yeah, it's all around the same time.
Yeah.
Crap! What was that other show that came out? That was like. Crap, no, it was too many. I can't even think of one right now.
The point is, like, at least around that time.
Girls and Panzer.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one. I heard about that one. That one had some.
That was weird.
So, that's it. Go watch it.
Go watch it. Check it out. Brian, take us out.
Thank you once again for listening. We are the Night Shift Bandits. Be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. We're going to be punching out so you all can be punching in. You all have a great night shift. This has once again been the Night Shift Bandits.
Peace.
Peace.
Bye.